penultimate show for 2020. Actually, it's not.
We're coming back
with a summer edition. We haven't quite ironed out exactly what the summer edition of the show's going to look like, but I had an idea. We're going to wear Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah, nice.
I think just to really, yeah, we'll dress the set up a bit.
What I found funny, like, well, we sit here, so we've been here for about 20 minutes, just the pre-show sort of stuff, getting into what we're going to talk
bit
about,
chat,
making sure the graphics are good, and Hum looked at us and he goes, you know what, I look like one of those overweight retired NFL players.
No, I did not say that. I said I look like an NRL player that's just let himself go a little bit.
Like a massive bogan, that's what you look like.
I am, like, I was just looking at myself in the monitor. Lockdown has got the better of me.
It has.
I've got this big, bushy ginger beard. I'm a bit overweight.
I thought you were trying to go running every day, though.
Yeah, I was.
Last week he was telling us he was running 10Ks a day.
I was running 10Ks a day. We got a new puppy.
If you're running 10Ks a day, you're not that fat.
No, I was running 10. You can look at my Strava. I was doing 10Ks a day. This week, admittedly, I've stopped a little bit.
You know what?
Just in a week.
Just in a week.
You know what makes you look like that retired NRL player you're talking about?
What?
That sleeve. That tattered sleeve.
Hey, big thanks to TaylorMade. Now, with lockdowns maybe easing, we might be able to get into the TaylorMade
studio
and get some beautiful clubs.
I don't think we can beat him because he's off 10.
No, I'm off. I was off 15, but I haven't swung a club for 3 months.
I'd be off 40 if you could be off 40. So what would you be?
I'm going to beat you because I don't think you got the temperament.
No, I haven't.
A golfer. I think you halfway through, if you're starting to go bad, your day just goes really bad. I don't think you can pull yourself out of a hole the way Muhammad can.
100% correct. See, that's where I'm different to you. I've got a bit of mindfulness about me. I know where I'm at. I'm a 40, I reckon. So I'm
you're
about
not going to be a 40.
I'm 100 to 105, and my temperament is poor. So if I start poorly, that could blow out to a 50 or 60.
But, Brandy, your swing is abhorrent.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I remember the first
time. I've been working on it.
We had you at the golf day that we ran a couple of years ago, and you did a swing for the cameras, and it was just, it's like you had.
Can the TaylorMade even straighten his swing up?
Well, I've been out to the TaylorMade setup out there, and I've actually had my swing analysed pre-COVID, and I think my swing's going up.
When did you go out there?
It would have been about November last year.
Yeah, he did actually. No, that's
why? And why didn't I get to go?
It was part of the Sunday footy show.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, we're looking forward to getting
out. We are looking forward to getting out to TaylorMade. Big week. We'll dive into it.
Big week in footy, Eddie, eh?
Shut up. Bombers. What's happening there?
Well, the Adam Saad trade you're talking about.
Yep.
Oh, these trades annoy me because Adam Saad's nominated. We know he's nominated Carlton. He's got a 5-year deal on the table. And you just know that Essendon are going to come in here and Carlton are going to come in here. They're going to be miles apart and it's going to drag on forever. I just think the clubs with these trades need to get a little bit more realistic. So Essendon have initially asked for pick 7 and Tom De Koning, a young ruckman. That's not going to happen.
No.
Or they want one of Walsh, Curnow or Mackay. Now, Carlton aren't going to give those up. I think a fair trade, Nate, is just pick 7. That's it.
Pick 7. He's a very good player, Adam Saad.
He's worth pick 7.
Do you get pick 7 in the draft this year and do you get an Adam Saad? That will be the question they have to ask. They might need a steak knife to be thrown
there. How old
is he,
though?
De Koning. I think, and Carlton think, that this De Koning kid is going to be a 10-year ruckman in the mould of a very aggressive Brodie Grundy.
So you're saying pick 7 and someone?
Pick 7 and a Paddy Dow. Pick 7 and a Silvani.
Right.
But Paddy Dow, he's been there, 4 years now?
Yeah.
He's not a regular senior player. Maybe he needs a break somewhere else. Maybe he needs a new set of eyes on everything. But pick 7 for Saad, it should get the job done.
Yeah.
But Adam Saad's also said that he's happy to go in the preseason draft.
Yeah.
So the Bombers need to be careful because they've given him a clip on the way out to say that maybe he wasn't a team man. Yeah. I don't know why the Bombers did that, but... certainly, Adam Saad's happy to go in the preseason draft.
Let's be honest, though. They're not going to get Walsh, Curnow or Mackay. No, it's just a waste of time asking.
Essendon don't cover themselves in glory this time each year, I find. They go a little bit...
You've got to play a little bit of hardball, but that's Walsh, Curnow or Mackay is just ridiculous.
The season finished up for a few teams a couple of weeks ago. There was a very well-publicised party in one of the hubs. The Western Bulldogs had a bit of a dip.
But bit of a shindig.
Bit of a shindig. But it made me think, I was thinking back, because we haven't, local footy clubs, we haven't had our footy trips this year, but What was it like on those interstate trips, perhaps at the end of the season, everything like that? Like, did you, was it?
The interstate trips back in the late 90s and early 2000s, it was like the end of season, every trip you went on. You didn't have to wait till the end of season to have a party. And I remember one trip to Perth, we actually had a really good win. I think it was 2001. We had a really good win in Perth against the Eagles, and they still had Djokovic and players like that playing. A really good team, obviously. We had a good win. We all had the jeans packed, of course, to go out over to Northbridge. We went to the post office. Remember the post office in Northbridge? And there was a little bloke over in Perth that used to do promotions at all the nightclubs called Mouse. Remember Mouse? Mm-hmm. Mouse would give you a couple of drink cards. Anyway, I was rooming with a guy called Stephen Ziller, Dirty Ziller.
Stephen Ziller's nickname, mind you, is Bourbon.
Bourbon Ziller, exactly. Dirty Ziller or Bourbon Ziller. So anyway, we're rooming together and it was getting late. It was, you know, about 2:33. And a lot of the boys had gone back to the hotel. We had a bit of training in the morning and then fly home. Anyway, I said to Dirty, I said, mate, that's it. One more drink and we've got to go. And he'd go, all right, Richo, we'll have one more bourbon, then we'll have one more bourbon, then we'll go. So then he'd get another one, and that went on till about 5 a.m. till the lights come on at this nightclub, and we were the last two there, me and Bourbon Zilla. So back to the hotel we go. I get into bed, set the alarm for 7 because Noel Duncan, our fitness man, had us doing some strides down on the Swan River the next morning. So the alarm goes off. I look over. I'm a bit parched, you know. There's no Dirty Zilla in bed, and I'm like, oh, what's happened here? So I go into the bathroom to clean my teeth and try and make out I haven't been out all night. And there's Dirty asleep on the bathroom floor. He'd been riding the porcelain bus all night just while I was sleeping for the 2 hours.
Remember that pre-season trip we did up to Mildura? And it was a tough camp. It was about a 3 or 4 day camp. And so Plough said, look, boys, we're all going to get out. We're going to have a drink tonight. We're going to enjoy ourselves. But just for your all knowledge, we're going to get up and we're going to do a session at 7 a.m. Yeah. So have a few drinks, enjoy yourselves. But I expect everybody, and he said, Cambo, you as the captain, I'm putting it on you. You need to make sure that everybody gets there. So no problems, no problems. Everyone went out, and I reckon I left this nightclub that we're in Mildura. I reckon it would have been about 3 a.m. And as I left, I turned around, and I could see Wayne Campbell with his hands up in the air dancing. He's captain of the footy club. He would have been 32 or 33 at this stage. And so everybody's got up the next morning. Everybody. Bar one person who was the captain, and Wayne Cowell, you should have seen how filthy Plough was. I reckon that fractured their relationship that.
Absolutely, it didn't. Just to finish the Stephen Ziller story up, I got him up off the floor, I dusted him off, I took him down to the group, and we got down there in time. Our fitness coach had got wind that we were the last two into the hotel. So we're jogging along and he kept making me and Stephen Ziller do 100 metre strides out and back to the group. Now, I did it all right because I was a good runner, but Dirty battled as a runner. He was in a world of hurt.
Hey, we've been speculating...
story when you talked about him being on the tiles. Sorry, Matthew.
Hey, we've been speculating on this show, as the community has, who will the grand final entertainment be?
Yeah.
As expected, an All-Australian lineup.
It's great.
The DMAs, I reckon you're right in your hitting zone, Richo.
Yeah, good get.
Almost a bit like an old Oasis.
Yes.
They're described as. Good. I actually haven't listened to them myself.
No, I think they've done well. All local acts.
What about Shepherd? Have you heard of Shepherd? Brownie?
I've heard of
Brad, plays the West Coast.
Geronimo. That was their song, wasn't it?
Not a bad song.
Yeah.
Who else is in there?
Good lineup.
Is there anyone else?
Cub Sport, are they in there?
I don't know.
Yeah, they're in there. Thelma Plum.
Great segment.
It's your segment, you don't even
know. I forgot the reason.
Thelma Plum.
The show. Hey, all right, we're going to skip ahead. Paddy Garshagan, a big friend of the show. Now, he's, you know, we've been watching his career slowly rise. And
he's the Melbourne supporter that's bet everybody, including Richo, about 1,100 in the end.
1,100. And he paid everyone. He was desperate for Richo's bank details.
I couldn't take his money.
Richo couldn't take his details.
You know what he's going to do, though? He's going to shout me lunch. When we can go out for lunch.
He's a good man, Paddy. But
nice dumpling place down the road.
He does a show on
SEN. Is that where Ollie went last night?
Sorry. Our producer's got irritable bowel syndrome. I've never seen a man look as crook as what he is.
He's battling.
He had no colour in his face at all. He's just like a shell of a man.
I admire someone who still rocks up when they're as crook as he is, though. Most
IBS,
people would stay.
IBS does not sound fun. If you've ever seen a long game, Polly, IBS does not look like
Ben Stiller.
Hey, but Paddy Garshagan.
Funny when it happens to someone else.
It is. Paddy Garshagan, he does a show on SEN where it's I'm not sure what it's called, but they essentially just cover the races on
SEN Track.
It's SEN Track.
He's done a lot of work on this, hasn't he?
He's had a pretty embarrassing moment over the weekend. So let's have a look.
If Juno Pell can get out here, it's dog trotting.
Yeah.
It really is.
He's just going around on the Ford, ain't Harley? You know, here we go. He's up there.
This opens up for Juno Pell. He's dog trotting. Superstorm looks a bit cast back there.
All right, come on, Buffalo. What do you got here?
He's got the name wrong for a
start. He's getting niggled at, Juno Pell. Oh, I'm Superman. He's trying to track it up.
Mm-hmm. He could do a Dave Taggart special here, Juno Pell.
So Buffalo River's off to the race.
Come on, Willow.
Here comes the June.
Come on, Willow.
Come on, Juno Pell.
With Mr. Quickie as well.
Come on, Juno Pell. And come on, Superstorm now. Come top three on the inside. Come on, Superstorm. Come on, Superstorm. Come on, Superstorm. Come on, Superstorm. Get up there for the third.
Bolted in.
Yeah.
Well, that
huge win. That's Mr. Quickie.
Jamie Carr.
Yeah.
Take a bow.
Mr. Quickie, 1680 top tote. Buffalo River's ran second. Superstorm's ran third. And Paddy's cheered on the wrong horse.
Mr. Quickie, I was wondering what you were on about.
So that's it.
Oh, no. I was going to.
So Mr. Quickie's pulled out from behind Buffalo River. Buffalo River's kicked at about the 300, right? And then there was only two in it, Buffalo River and Mr. Quickie. So Paddy actually thought that Mr. Quickie was Juno Pell. So he thought the whole way he's got the winner. And then he's on, okay, where's Superstorm? He's obviously had the same race, multi. Now you get third. But he had the wrong horse.
He's had the wrong.
As a punter, he's a Melbourne supporter, isn't he? They're no good. They just punt Melbourne.
Very funny.
Supporters.
Hey, we've had a lovely segment that's been running throughout the year, the Nuffy Jar Brand.
Oh, yes, very good segment. This is where people come up with some just rubbish on social media.
Yep.
There's a lot of people out there who are virtue signalers. I think there's a lot out there.
Yep.
I'm not going to name names, but our man over here, he's not a virtue signaler.
Oh, no.
But he's certainly a Nuffy when it comes to things that he posts. So many things you post and you comment on things like...
What do I comment on?
Tasmanian football, Tasmanian cricket, anything to do with Tasmania, David Boone, Tim Lane.
You should get passionate about a few things.
I am very, very passionate, Matthew, about a lot of things.
Well, what have I done now?
Hey?
What have I done now?
Well, I was watching the footy the other night and I noticed this on the Toyota fan zone. Look at your head down there. Now, sometimes, Matthew, you just got to say no. Sometimes you say, no, I don't think that's me. I'm not a fan. I played 282 games. I had 282 kids run around the MCG with me. I've kicked 800 goals. I don't think I need to do the fan zone.
Okay. Now, I understand where you're coming from.
So, I'll just if you are listening, we just had a photo up of the fan zone, which, of course, is when they... Channel 7, because people haven't been at the ground, they've been getting people dressed in all their Richmond gear or whoever the team are, and
they're
cheering
it all
home
year.
From Zoom.
Yeah.
And our man, Richo, was just spotted in the bottom right-hand corner, just in a white T-shirt, no Richmond gear, and just looking still. There was no animation.
That's when Scotty West did it. He wore a Bulldogs beanie.
And this is the whole point. When Scott West did it, the 7-time best and fairest winner, he was in the Bulldogs fan zone. When he did it, I did look at that and go, oh, come on, Westy. I don't know if you need to be in the fan zone. But, Nathan, I'll ask you these questions.
Yes, Matt.
Is the fan zone on Channel 7?
It certainly is, Matt, as the football is.
Am I employed by Channel 7?
You are employed by Channel 7.
When your employee asks you to do something, Nathan, do you normally do it?
You do normally do it, Matt, yes.
Okay. I work for Channel 7. I'm out of contract in 2 weeks' time after the grand final. If my employer asks me to run nude down Bourke Street Mall at the moment, I will do it.
That's actually fair enough.
Out of contract.
I couldn't say no.
And I think there's something in that statement for Channel 7 as well. I think if anybody at Channel 7's watching that they want to see Matthew Richardson run down Bourke Street nude, that you'll give him a new contract. I think that's a great thing. I think Australia would celebrate you running nude.
Hey, speaking of doing things for your employer, Jack Riewoldt equals your game tally.
Yes, he does.
Year, 282 games. Now, I've had three or four blokes on social send me that and just going, I wonder if Jack will run out with 282 kids for this effort.
You know what? If Jack finished on 282, which I hope he doesn't, I hope Richmond get through and play in a grand final. But if Jack doesn't win this week and he did retire, maybe he could.
He might get the 282.
How many goals has Jack Riewoldt kicked?
600 and 50, I reckon.
No, don't say it like you don't know.
600.
Don't say it you don't know.
Nearly 650.
You know all the records around where you're placed.
Nearly 650.
Stop it.
Hey, we should bring the stack game back.
Fake humble. You're a fake humble person.
So I've got 150 more than him.
Hey, last week, Richo, in fact, we got some feedback on the show. Yep. Now, we always encourage punters to leave feedback on the App Store, and in return, you get some merchandise. But we had some feedback last week when I was trolling. I like to go through it each week. So let's have a look at what we got sent in. So this is from a bloke called Tommy9812. Stick to what you know, Richo. Love the show, lads. Richo, been a big fan of yours a long time now, but give me a spell on the Trump hating. First of all, in the little drive-by you were complaining about, it was cleared by the medical staff. You said it yourself, they're the best in the world. Also, the Secret Service are trained to take a bullet for him if they have to, so you think they're worried about catching COVID.
Not a bad
Stick
point
to
from
what you know.
Tommy9812, they do take a bullet, yeah.
Yeah, look. I did go into this last week in the What's Doing My Head In segment. Yep.
All right. Well, let's go into this week.
And it's doing my f***ing head in.
So he does make a point there. I should stick to my zone. I should stick to footy and trivial stuff that doesn't matter really, okay? I'm not really a political correspondent. But you know what? I'll tell you what's doing my head in this week. It's Trump again.
I'm doubling down.
Oh, no. I'm doubling down, and I'll just throw to this bit of audio, okay?
One thing with me, the nice part, I went through it. Now they say I'm immune. I feel so powerful. I'll walk into that audience. I'll walk in there. I'll kiss everyone in that audience. I'll kiss the guys and the beautiful women and them. Everybody, I'll just give you a big fat kiss.
I rest my case. This guy is a complete peanut.
Imagine kissing the big fella.
Oh, but fair dinkum. He's just had COVID.
He'd be an awful kisser.
Just real tonguey.
He's had the most publicised case of COVID in this pandemic. This is the most publicised case, probably just in front of Boris Johnson, probably way in front of Boris Johnson. He's the president of a country that's had a million people die of COVID. And he's coming out and saying that after he's had it, he's going to walk into a room and pash everyone. He is a peanut, and he does my head in.
He is a peanut.
Who's been the biggest person in this country to get it so far? Because we don't have a lot of cases.
We haven't had many people get it.
I think the biggest one in the AFL circles was Connor McKenna.
Connor McKenna and Peter Dutton. Peter Dutton.
Oh, that's right. Oh, Dutt's got it.
Big Dutts.
Yeah. Hey, another point from last week. 1-800-LASAGNA. Now, yes. There's been some speculation. We're going to get a picture up on the screen if you are listening at home. This is a picture of Richo standing in front or behind a 1-800-LASAGNA.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to put the question to you.
Yeah.
Did you use our show to plug 1-800-LASAGNA for a clip?
No, I did not.
You didn't receive any cash from 1-800-LASAGNA?
The good folk that own 1-800-LASAGNA are good.
When you start to stumble over your words, it means you're lying. You're looking at your eyes are darting everywhere.
Okay.
There's one thing I'm passionate about, reading people's body language.
Okay, so just let me
finish.
And
your body language at the moment is looking like you're a liar.
So a good mate of mine, Brian Taranto's very good friend, has started this business. And he sent me some lasagna. I did get the las for free, okay? I may have got that bit of merch for free as well, the jumper. No cash changed hands.
Say lasagna again.
Lasagna. Yeah.
Why do you say it with an S sound? It's a Z sound. That's how they say it. It's lasagna. It's not lasagna.
That's how you say it in Tassie.
Hey, well, because I said last week that I think lasagna's no good.
I've actually ordered it. It's coming.
Have you?
Tonight. Williamstown's delivery is Thursday.
How did that go down?
It didn't go down very well. I've been copying it from pillar to post all week on social. One guy, how's this for some feedback? Now, we're going to censor this. One guy sent me a message, says, funny you don't like lasagna. You look like you would like lasagna. Hashtag fat. Well, that's been beeped out, but...
Oh, you'd hope so.
How's that? So someone,
it's pretty right,
absolutely.
Though,
I'm going to sample it tonight. I'll review it next week. But I do love a good lasagna as well.
Yeah, so this will be an independent review. Nathan's going to... Because I do have a connection there.
The term you used before, and I know it's not a... We're doing a footy podcast, but pillar to post. Now, what's that mean? It probably means something very simple, pillar to post, but I've been dragged from pillar to post. What is the pillar and what is the post?
I assume it's like a racing term, an old racing term. They must have had a pillar. Maybe they started at a pillar.
Right.
Something like that.
I reckon it'd be like an ancient day. Sort
yeah, it'd be something about
a Roman sort of empire.
Something like that, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure there's a thing called Google. But hey, on the back of that, I'm gonna like Richo's double down on Trump. I'm gonna double down on things that I think are incredibly overrated.
Okay.
So I've done a top five.
You got a top five?
Yep. I've done a top five.
Let's go.
Number one that is incredibly overrated.
Can you start with five and head down to number one, or
oh yeah, sorry. Yeah. So the fifth least thing that is overrated.
Top five. We're gonna start with number one.
Eggs.
Eggs
are no good. Scrambled, boiled, eggs are no good.
You're an extraordinary.
Do you not like bacon and eggs?
No time for them.
Eggs. So what do you do when you're hungover? You don't have what do you have with your bacon?
I have a Zinger meal.
I'm going to ask you. So
I just get Zinger.
Hey,
I get a KFC.
So that Zinger meal you're talking about, how does it get there?
Gets Ubered.
But the egg, mate, comes out of a chicken.
Oh.
If you can't have the
egg. Oh, no, don't go. That's
okay, eggs. What's,
eggs.
What's four?
Number four, massages. No good. Don't like them.
No, I love them.
I think they're pretty
good. I don't think anyone else.
Number three.
Who doesn't like massages?
I don't know. This man is different, though.
You don't?
Number three, chicken schnitzels. Why would you ever order a chicken schnitzel when you can have a Palmer? Tell me that. Why?
I'll give you one there. I like a chicken schnitzel, but a Palmer's better.
Yeah, well, I don't understand why you would ever
order
a
chicken schnitzel. It's just a bit of a change-up, you know?
Number two, going out for breakfast.
What?
Going out for breakfast is hell. I hate it. It's loud. It's just they're always
so
hot and stuffy.
You never go out for breakfast.
Only if the Dale drags me. She likes it, and so you know. Once
so if you're on holidays in another country,
you're a catcher.
So you go to away on holidays and you don't go out for breakfast and enjoy the sights and.
He goes and buys himself some Weet-Bix, takes him back to his hotel.
I'll just say it in the hotel. I don't like going out for breakfast. And number one, now I know this is gonna cause a stir. The most overrated item in the world. Is tomato sauce.
Oh, come on.
Tomato sauce is dog shit. It is horrendous. I hate it. I can't eat anything with it. I won't put it on anything.
What do you do when you have a hot dog?
No sauce.
What's your number one condiment then? What do you put on your steak?
Peri-peri sauce on steak.
Peri-peri sauce.
I put peri-peri sauce on everything.
Now you are a different man. I'll tell you, when you said you were doing this segment, I'll tell you what I reckon the most overrated thing is. You know them blowers that blow the leaves around?
Yep.
Mm.
What's the point of that?
You're out
in your backyard, you blow them around.
Because you blow all the shit out into the footpath. Get out of your house.
You just move it somewhere else.
You need to pick it up, don't you?
You need to pick it up.
Nah, I don't mind. Hey, but you have got a new...
I have.
Now, I'm assuming that this is another cat.
No, it's not. Now, there's no connection.
There's going to be another little here for Richard.
I've recommended a few things. I've recommended Croxton Roosters, the chicken schnitzel burger, right? Magnificent. I've recommended 1-800 Lasagna.
It all
Nathan.
Works if you live over in the north.
That's all right. I'm talking to people in Northcote, Thornbury area.
You do have a nice selection of stuff out there. But
I've gone for a dessert this week.
Oh,
I've gone for a dessert, and it's a Casanada up in Thornbury. And the only thing this place does is Portuguese tarts, right?
What? Like, literally, they don't make
That's
anything
all they
else.
Do. They do one thing, Portuguese tarts.
I like this business model. I said this last week.
Basically, just a fancy custard tart. They're not your custard tart you get from the local bakery. These things are bud heaven. Your taste buds will be in heaven if you have one of these.
What's different about them?
Yeah.
They're just, I don't know what they do to them, Nathan, but they are the Ferrari of custard tarts.
Some peri-peri in there, do they?
They don't put peri-peri on them. So it got me thinking, right, you've done a little top five.
Yep.
And I'd like our listeners to send in that, like your favourite desserts, okay? Mm. Like we've needed comfort food, haven't we? Yeah. Like lasagna. We've needed casseroles. We've needed all that nice.
Casseroles are no good.
Comfort. What?
Yep. By the way, casseroles are no good.
So I'm going my top three desserts, and I'd love some feedback on this. And I grew up in Tasmania, as you like to point out regularly, Nathan. And my nan, my grandma down there, she did the best old school desserts of all time. So the top three old school desserts.
Yep.
Okay. Pavlova, just your basic pav. Now you can mix up your toppings, but my favourite was just the passion fruit on top. But you can have strawberries, you can have banana. But pavlova with passion fruit.
What is pavlova? Is it just the top? You know how you have like a lemon tart and it has the pavlova topping on it? Is the pavlova just all that?
It's the whole thing.
My wife makes the best pavlova
in
this country.
She would. And I back that up, I reckon. I reckon I've had it. Number two, golden syrup dumplings with a bit of vanilla ice cream. Just magnificent.
I've never had that.
No, have you
ever
had
them? Try them. Try them. Just look them up.
Golden syrup, the dumplings. Poor man's maple syrup, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Yes, golden it is.
Syrup. No, poor it's syrup. Not.
Golden syrup is the poor man's maple syrup. It's a tenth of the price.
And the third one of old school desserts that is just magnificent. And my mate David Tocci, his mum, Marcella, Mrs. Tocci, makes the best trifle you will ever have.
Mm.
Have you ever had trifle?
No.
Which is basically a sponge cake with some fruit, some jelly and some custard. Absolutely magnificent.
All right, how's this for an unpopular opinion? I don't think fruit goes in dessert.
Oh, what's wrong with him, mate?
I don't know. There's a fair bit wrong.
All right, we're going to look at the brown line next.
One thing I'll add to that is just normal.
Now, those that listen on the on our podcast on the App Store notice that there's been a little one of your passion projects popping up. It's called
On the Brownlow. So I get together with the traders. We've got two traders, Cam Dean and Dave Newell, who sort out all the votes. Now,
riveting stuff.
You're busy, aren't
you? Oh, this is your. This has nothing to do with me.
He was on his phone.
Richo.
I'm just reading a few notes for our prelim final.
Okay, would you like to pay attention to the Brownlow?
No, I will. Well, it's a good segment, this.
The wheels are just off this show.
Okay, you can get six votes. As normal, but our traders trade a little bit differently and up to 10, 11, 12 players can get a vote, but they have to share in the six votes. So they just balance it out a bit. So let's have a look at the Brownlow tracker for the top four. These are the round-by-round predictions. Have a look at Lachie Neal there. Massive start to the season. The red ones are potential three-vote games. Green are obviously when they vote, maybe one or two. Jack Steele doesn't vote in four games, according to us. But then there's a lot of small ones there. 0.37, 0.32, 0.35. So does he vote in those games? Travis Boak. Petrarca's pretty regular through the middle of the season, but Lachie Neal we've got winning by around six votes. So that's Lachie Neal. Now, here's the team votes. Here's where we think there's some value around Taylor Adams to put in all your multis. We've got Taylor Adams winning Collingwood's most votes by a fair way. Yeah. Penderbury is a big vote getter. It must be said. So you've got to respect Scotty Penderbury. We'll get votes for maybe when maybe other players mightn't get them. Geelong, we think Menegola beats Dangerfield. Menegola had a fantastic season, big numbers in their
kick
wins.
Goals.
So Dangerfield short there, but we're going to take Menegola. The next one is the West Coast Eagles. We reckon that Tim Kelly will get over the top of Nick Natanui. It'd be very, very close, but we've got him three votes clear of Natanui, but at a bigger price. And at the Bulldogs, lots been made of Bontempelli this year. He had a wonderful mid part of the year, but Jack McRae, we don't think is going to vote as well as what some of the other models are coming out and saying. So for us, Bontempelli wins that one. So that's where the multi sits. Now, let's have a look at some of the futures multis. And we've got Lachie Neal in this one. You have to go to the Brownlow futures multi. You just can't go to Lachie Neal winner and place this bet then to top five. But in the futures multi section, Lachie Neal to win, Petrarca top five, Fife top 10, Menegola top 10. That gets you to about the $7.89, I believe. And then this is our lock multi. Taylor Adams team votes, $1.50. Bontempelli team votes. And then Nat Fife, $3.56. You can power play that to about $3.86.
Now, I'll ask this of you and your podcast mates. How accurate are they each year? Like, are they pretty bang on?
Well, I'd look at their voting from last year, and pretty much the top 10 they got within one and a half
is that right?
votes. The only one they got wrong was the winner, Nat Fife. Nobody had Nat Fife winning last year. He won by six. He got 4-3 voters in games where they lost and people didn't think he was going to vote. So, but every other year they've been pretty bang on, so they do a really good job.
They get Matt Prittis, did they?
No, they didn't, Matt. No.
Nobody did.
I know that.
It's a great night, Brownlow, for a punter because you can sit there, you can just multi up, you can do big multi, small multi.
Responsibly.
And just sit there, of course. But you can make some serious cash. You chuck $20 on something that's paying, 200 to one. That's retiring stuff. But hey, let's have a look at the games. Now, I said this on one of my radio spots earlier in the week. This is as
close. One of the ones you haven't been sacked from.
I love the way you said one of my radio spots.
Let's just go through your radio segments, like one of. So that means there's several or maybe even multiple. So just
there is multiple.
Run us through them.
Well, I'm on SEN every day.
That's one.
One.
All right, let's look at it.
Well, you know what I mean. Geez, you're pretty picking on me today. But this is as close as a preliminary final week of footy.
All right.
Let's have a look at this week's games. Now, if you let me finish, this is as close as a preliminary final week that you will ever see. Because you've got four sides. Anyone can win. And I think anyone can win the flag. The favourite at the Lions through to Geelong are separated by a dollar in the grand final market. So it's very, very close. How do you see this week playing out?
Yeah, we'll start Richmond and Port Adelaide. I think Port deserved to be a slight favourite in this game. They went through the season, were on top of the ladder for the whole 17 rounds, obviously, gone straight through to a prelim final, playing at the Adelaide Oval, home crowd, in really good nick. All of their good players are playing well. So they go in slight favourites against Richmond. I think this game is won and lost at the centre bounce. Richmond over there in round 11 lost out of the centre bounce 20-5. But they were missing Edwards, Prestia, Cochin and Nankervis that day. And that's basically their starting centre bounce. Throw Dustin Martin in there and rotate it around. So they'll get a lot closer in the middle. But we know at the Adelaide Oval, if you win the centre bounce, so hard to move the ball from end to end. So whoever wins the centre bounce, I think, will win the game. And, look, I think you have to tip Port because they've been on top all year. They're at home. But it'll be extremely close.
What do you think about the bye that they've had? So they've pretty much had two byes in 3 weeks, one game in 25 days.
Yeah, and I think the coaches are worried about that. I heard Chris Fagan on radio last night.
It's new in our game.
It is. And Chris Fagan said, look, he has been thinking about that. Geez, we've played one game in 28 days. But, so 2 years ago it didn't help Richmond. Last year it probably did. So I think Port win just.
Damien Hardwick, after the game last week, said that we learnt a lot from playing Port Adelaide last time over there. Yeah. We've reviewed the game and we realised what we did wrong. So here's a stat for you. Since Richmond's run starting in 2017, every time they've lost to a side in the regular season, come up against them in the finals,
they've turned it around.
They've turned it around. So they've learnt what happened mid-season and then turned it around in the finals. So I'm thinking that that is another opportunity for them to turn the tables, and I'm going to tip Richmond.
Trent McKenzie on Lynch is a little bit of a worry. Look, he did a good job on Hawkins the last week, but yeah, that's a bit of a concern.
$1.95, the Tigers, Port Adelaide, $1.85. So the odds are coin toss there. The next game, Brisbane, $1.74, the Cats, $2.10, but the better back side, Geelong.
Yeah, I would have watched last week, and if I was the Brisbane hierarchy, being the coach and the players, I'd be sitting there very nervous about Geelong. Yes, Collingwood were very, very ordinary. But you'd be sitting there as a player in the back end if you're Starcevic or your Gardner and you're going, is Paddy Dangerfield going to play forward? Do I have him? Is he going to tear the game apart? Am I going to be the man that he is going to tear apart? All of a sudden, you start to have doubts because you watched how good Geelong were last week. Brisbane deserve to be favourites and most people will tip them. But I just think Geelong's upside is pretty good if they can get it right.
Let's be honest, though. Collingwood's pressure last week was as bad as I've seen in a final in the last 10 years, probably longer. I can't remember a final where a team just didn't put the pressure on. They were cooked from that trip to Perth. They allowed Geelong to take 120 uncontested marks. That just means you're not closing down space, you're not putting pressure on. So the pressure will be huge on Geelong this week. So it's going to be a lot different, but I am going to tip Geelong just.
I like the way Geelong fold back, and I think that'll give problems to Brisbane's forward structure. I still worry about Brisbane's forward structure. Yes, they kicked the winning score against the Tigers, but that part of their game still concerns me. Nothing else. I think defensively they're brilliant. In the midfield, they've got winners everywhere, but their forward structure to kick a big score under immense pressure, that's going to be the... And if they do, that makes them premiership stars.
That's where when you look at it on paper, you look at Geelong's forward 50 and Brisbane's, and you just have more confidence in Hawkins, obviously, and Dangerfield down there.
This time next week, we will be announcing the winner of the Trumpet Award.
Yep.
The very well put together records. Now, at the top of the market,
award.
I'm pretty sure we still have Lachie Neal on 15, Tom Hawkins on 10, Travis Boak on 9, Sam Menegola on 9. Those top four are all playing this week, so they could change. The worst, GWS on 9, Adelaide on 8, Hawthorn 7, Steel Sidebottom 6, Dan Andrews on 5, Carlton on 5. And a few more on 5. So, with 1 week to go, does the leaderboard change? Richo, your best.
All right, my best. I gave one vote to Mitch Duncan. Just his ball use. If Brisbane want to let him run around and use the ball like Collingwood did, they're in big trouble. Best ball user in the comp when he's got time. 2 to Shane Edwards. He now is right at the top end of the top players in the AFL. I think he's been underrated for a long time, but just a finals performer, just lifts for finals, 2 goals, assists, just class, makes his teammates better. And 3 to Danger, when you can go mid and then go forward and kick 4 goals, absolute superstar.
I gave 1 vote to Shane Edwards for the same reasons you did. He just makes the right decision under pressure at the right time. That square up ball that he got,
how good was that?
I think he...
Castagna.
He got it to Castagna. I mean, there's only a handful of players that can make that kick. 20 years ago, there was more players that could make that kick, but I think the game skill-wise is poorer than what it has been for a long time. So
pressure's a lot higher, though.
It is, certainly it is, but you've still got the best players to make the decision. Two votes. Tom Lynch came back in last week, and he took a mark 30 seconds in on their number one defender, and the St Kilda players would looked around and gone, Tom Lynch is back in, taking a mark. This is what's to come. And I thought that he almost cut St Kilda off at the knees. Kicked two goals, 5, 17 disposals.
He created about three or four, though.
Crashing the packs. And three votes to Paddy Dangerfield. It was a super effort.
I gave one vote. Now, this is a bit controversial because I'm not sure who makes the decision, but I'm giving it to Steve Hocking because I think he's the man that oversees the football operations. Is that right?
Yep.
Why? There's all this controversy about the bounce. We talked about it last week. Just go to the umpires and say, who's the best bouncer out there tonight?
Yeah.
You take all of the bouncers. So I'm giving him one vote because you can avoid that whole Ray Chamberlain controversy with the bouncing. Two to Tommy Brown, a colleague at Channel 7. I love Tommy. He has a crack, gets out there. Tommy Brown said last week that DeGoey was potentially going to Carlton. The next day, Carlton said, we have no interest in DeGoey.
Disappointing, isn't it?
Now, Tommy, all he had to do was ring Carlton and ask before he went to air with that one. Good fellow, though, Tommy. He makes me laugh. And three to Collingwood. I know they were cooked coming back from Perth, but gee, to have one goal at three-quarter time in a final wasn't great.
All right. I gave one vote to Razor Ray as well. The fact that he bounces the ball to the left of the circle, I can't understand that. And further to that,
don't make him bounce it then.
The AFL need to say to him, mate, you cannot bounce it to the left. He did it the week before. It was highlighted. Nothing was said. He still did it the week after. You cannot bounce a ball. Imagine in basketball if you went to the left side and you threw the ball up. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. But they could have helped him. They could have helped him by not making him bounce.
Two votes to Bradley Hill. As good as St Kilda have been, I thought he was their number one off-season signing. I think he's had an average season, and his final the other night against Richmond was poor, and I gave three votes again to Collingwood. And the excuses coming out of Collingwood that players haven't played well because they've been in the harbour and all that sort of stuff, but everybody has been in the harbour. Everybody's been the same, so you can't make those excuses now.
There you go. I'll have to do some accounting to work out if that does change the leaderboard, but I suspect Collingwood might have just shot up the ranks on 6. Hamatheticals next. Last week was shit house, wasn't it? They weren't great. I'm a bit worried
about your homework again.
I'm not entirely sure they're that much better this week. But let's have a crack. Now, this got sent in from a listener. Was orange a colour or a fruit first?
Oh, it was a fruit.
Yeah, it was a fruit.
Really?
Yeah, back in the wild man days out in the bush, there wouldn't have been any colours or language. It would have just been hunting and
the wild man days out in the bush.
well, what would you call it?
I don't know.
Well, back before people talked and, you know, coerced with each other, you're just hunting and there would have been oranges on trees.
You would have been awful in the hunter-gatherer days, Brownie.
That's true, though, don't you?
Oh, no, I love it.
How would a Brownie gone in the hunter-gatherer days?
Oh,
he'd be no good.
He would have lasted five.
Richie and I'd be lugging hogs back and
you're
just doing all the killing. You'd just be sitting there doing stuff all.
He would have done nothing.
Yeah, you're probably right.
All right, another one.
That's not bad.
If I offer you $5 million, but you have to go the rest of your life not toilet trained.
Oh, nah. No.
$10
million.
No. Oh, $10 bucks.
Nah, who'd want to come near you? Wouldn't matter how much money
you get discreet nappies and stuff these days.
It still stinks.
No money in the world.
It's ridiculous.
All right, last one. If I right now I offered you a choice of two. One is a 1 week holiday to any destination in the world with your family, your wife and all your kids, or one afternoon in your backyard or the most perfect backyard in the world with 20 of your mates and just a barbecue. Which one would you pick?
I think I'd like to get 4 or 5 of my mates and their family around and have just a great catch-up because we haven't seen anyone.
Yeah.
So the socialising aspect, get it.
You're saying excluding your own family though, aren't you? That's what you're angling.
I mean, maybe the family's not there.
No, I'd have to go on the family holiday.
Mm-hmm. Really?
I don't think that'd get through to the keeper.
Wouldn't fly at all, no. Unfortunately.
I know what I'd be cheering. All right, not the greatest show, let's be honest. Well, it was an entertaining show.
Oh, think it was
the
good.
Structure, poor. Perhaps was a bit lacking a little bit.
Don't bring us down to your.
No, it wasn't just me. We all had hiccups, but we got there in the end.
Didn't have any hiccups.
Good luck on the punt. Enjoy this weekend, and remember, leave us a nice little comment, and I will send you out some merchandise.
That's illegal. You cannot.
I'll do us
cash for comments.
Gamble responsibly.